rest your ears in the endeavors of the Nightmare Notes.
Hello to anyone out there. You're listening to the Nightmare Notes. I am Joey, and I am accompanied by one of my lovely co-hosts, John.
Hey, what's up?
Before we start this week's topic and stories, let's walk around the block and see what's been going on. What have you been up to, John? I know it's been a minute.
Not a whole lot. Been catching up on some movies, you know, work shit. I watched Little Monsters, and then I also watched The Man Who Killed Hitler, Then Killed Bigfoot, which are two pretty good movies if you want to go watch them.
I've heard of Little Monster. I haven't heard of The Man Who Killed Hitler and Then Killed Bigfoot.
So The Man Who Killed Hitler and Then Killed Bigfoot, it's based off a novel, and it pretty much follows a story of this older guy, and he kind of has some flashbacks to back when he got drafted into World War II, became kind of like a special agent because he was really smart, and he only ever killed one man during World War II, and that was Hitler. But he didn't really want to kill him. He never really wanted to kill anybody because he's like inherently like a really good person.
Right.
But he always followed orders, you know, did what he needed to do. And in the end, you kind of find out that he kind of did it for no reason because he killed Hitler. But the Nazis already had a contingency plan on to how to, fake Hitler being alive still.
Oh, of course.
So, you know, it kind of ties into the whole conspiracy theory about how there was like all these different Hitlers, you know, quotation marks.
Yeah.
So it was pretty good, though. And then, I mean, the FBI comes and they're like, hey, this creature roaming around in the, you know, Canada, it has this flesh-eating virus that it's, you know, spreading to everything, and it's going to spread all over the world if it gets out of this, you know, area. We need to kill it. And they call on him because he is the only one of the few people that have like an immunity to this disease. So he has to go out in the wilderness, he finds it, kills it. It's a pretty good story. I thought it was going to be kind of gimmicky at first, you know, by the title, but it was actually kind of like a pretty moving story.
That sounds cool. that sounds cool. I haven't been up to much. A lot of work, mainly. I got a new clutch in my car, got that back today. Pretty excited about that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Been driving it too hard?
No, my car's got like 130,000 miles on it, and it needed a clutch about 40,000 miles ago. I was just being lazy. I just haven't been up to a whole lot. Started playing Dungeons and Dragons with some friends online. Really excited about that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I haven't played since high school, so figured I'd get back in the game, give it a shot again.
One of my coworkers, his wife just started up a D&D league with her friends, and I'm hoping that they expand it in the future so I can join in, because I have been wanting to play.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's I haven't played because they come out with new editions all the time. In high school I played 3.5, but now they're on 5th edition. So so rules have changed since then. So I'm still getting like acclimated to the to how the game runs, and playing with some friends who have played 5th edition. So that's a big help. They got a lot of the answers that I do not. So it's a lot of fun.
I think it's like a friend bonding thing over anything.
It is.
I remember playing with you, Tim. I can't remember who the other person was.
Probably Gabe.
It might have been Gabe, but we played a Pokemon one that you came up with, I remember.
Yeah, I think Quentin played with us on that one.
It might have been Quentin, yeah. But I remember that being so much fun. And I think it was more fun that we were going through it just hanging out, you know, in your basement, just chilling. More than even the story.
Yeah, more than the gameplay. But it's a lot of fun. We definitely get to joke around and have some good laughs while we play. And then everybody, I get to tell, I'm the DM in this, so I get to tell a fun story that I'm writing. And it's a lot of work, but it's also like, it's one of those things where you put a lot of work into it and then you start playing and you, at first I was really nervous because like I said, I haven't played since high school. So it's been a good couple of years. And, like I put a lot of work into the story. And then when we started playing, before we started playing, I was super nervous that it was going to suck. Cause like, I just thought about it and I ran through it in my head, but at first it was a little clunky just cause like, I'm playing with, four of my good friends and then a guy that I've never met, but he's friends with one of my other friends and he wanted to play with us. So I was like, yeah, that's fine. And he's really cool. They're all really cool. So it's just fun to, at first it was a little clunky, but now we're starting to get into a groove where everybody's comfortable and everybody can say dumb stuff and we don't have really much of an issue with it. So it's fun. Well, I'm excited to keep playing.
I mean, I can't say that you're a bad DM because in our crossover episode was, kind of technically like you were the DM. So
yeah, that's what, like when we decided to do our crossover episode, that's what, that's, for anybody who's never played Dungeons & Dragons, that's very similar to Dungeons & Dragons, except in Dungeons & Dragons, you would, if you wanted to do something, you would have to roll dice to do it. And then whatever you rolled, you have a character sheet and you have numbers. It's a lot of math. Add the numbers and that decides whether you can do whatever it is you wanted to do or not.
Yeah, which I think if we ever did something like that on this podcast, we'd probably end up trying to do like a YouTube video or something. Because I feel like you need the visual part too.
You do. Yeah, because when we play, I have, I stream my my computer screen to, and then they can watch it. And then now I have a drawing pad and I draw stuff out and map things out because it very much is a visual. That's why I didn't, when we did our crossover episode, I scrapped all the math and rolling. I wanted to be more of like a detective thing, trying to figure it out. But
it worked out for a podcast.
Yeah, for a podcast, it worked out pretty well, I think. But whenever we did that, the role that I did of being all the other characters and writing the story is the DM, which is Dungeon Master. But in a lot of other games, it's called GM, the Game Master.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. If anybody out there is one worried that it's too nerdy, don't be. It's a lot of fun. You get so enveloped in it and so sucked into it that you don't even feel stupid. You just enjoy it. I would highly recommend it to anybody who wanted to play.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those things that you can play to kind of escape for a little bit. You know.
Yeah, definitely.
And to do it with friends too.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You can do, it's like kind of like a video game in a way.
Yeah. Yeah, you really do have to play with friends because, like, when we first moved down here, there's a board game store that had an ad up saying that there's a party looking for a dungeon master. And I thought about it and I was like, maybe I'll do it. Like, I'm not afraid to play with people I don't know. But the worry is like, you don't want to follow each party. Has their own one way of playing and two like level of intensity. So like if I'm playing with a bunch of random people, they're probably that are looking for a dungeon master and are going to meet up in person every week and do this serious thing. They're probably going to take it super seriously. And like, I'm fine with taking it seriously. Cause like there is a level of seriousness that you have to take it to play the game. Like if you're just going to be an idiot the entire time and say stuff that sounds stupid, that goes against everybody else, it's just going to fuck the whole thing up. But but there's a lot of things in the game that I don't like to do. Like if you're a wizard in the game and you have to cast a spell, you have to have like spell components, so you have to like gather things and like a lot of dumb, annoying, tedious things. Or like if you're an archer, you have to keep track of how many arrows you have, like stuff like small tedious things like that are annoying to me, but I understand why for some people it makes the game more real and that's fun. But like to me, I'm trying to tell a fun story and put these characters in situations and see how they react more than like I like very specific detail oriented gameplay.
I think of it more like a movie where like you look at say Lord of the Rings and you look at Legolas and he's an archer. Like, you don't really ever count his arrows. You don't really ever care because the story's really good. You know, you don't have to worry about stuff like that. And then, you know, the spell components and stuff. Yeah, that can be fun, but it could, like you say, get really tedious to where
it slows the game down. Yeah, it slows it down a lot, because then, like, say you, like you really want to cast a spell, and it's like, okay, well, if we're playing by the rules, you half the day or half the time that we're playing is going to be you marching around in the woods looking for something specific, and that's just not fun. Like, to me, like, I'd rather do cool stuff and fight monsters and interact with people and tell a beautiful story over tedious, dumb little things like that. But I'm more of a, when we play, I'm more heavy on, like, the role-playing aspect than I am the, like, battle aspect. Like, there's, we do battle a fair amount, but, like, to me, it's more fun. Because, like, when I think about playing Dungeons & Dragons, at least as a DM, I think about, it's like I'm writing a story or writing a book, and then I'm handing where the story goes into the character's hands, and then I'm just watching them take it wherever they want to take it. And then I've just got to be light on my feet and think quick and redirect the story when I need to and stuff. But it's just, I don't know, it's very interesting. Like, when it's like watching, it's like reading Harry Potter, and then it, and J.K. Rowling stops the book and says, okay, Harry, what do you want to do? And she gets to watch Harry decide what he actually wants to do instead of telling him what he's going to do.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun. I really do love it. It's definitely something worth playing once a week, at least. I wish we could play more, but, you know, being an adult, you don't have spare time like we did in high school.
Yeah, it's kind of like this, you know.
Yeah,
I'd like to do multiple episodes a week, but you just don't have the time.
Trying to coordinate six adults and that are working and doing everything, it's really hard, but as long as everybody stays dedicated to one night a week, it's a lot of fun. It's well worth it. And as long as everybody's enjoying themselves, it's all that matters.
Nice.
Yeah. So, if you don't have anything else, let's take a short break for our ad.
Awesome.
All right. And we're back. Let's get into today's topic. What do you think?
I'm not back yet. I'm still on break.
Okay. All right. While John's sipping his Mai Tai, I'll go ahead and tell you guys about the topic. This episode, we'll be talking about one of the most debated topics throughout time, aliens. Whether you believe there's more out there, or if you're self-obsessed and believe there's no possible way that life could exist outside of Earth, we will be telling creepy, possibly true stories of scary creatures from outer space. Now, before we tell these stories, I'd like to have a little conversation about your standpoint, John, on aliens.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's very narcissistic to believe that we are the only creatures in the universe. I think there's enough evidence that there is other galaxies and other things that we can't see that are so far out in space that it's just, I think it's downright kind of stupid to think that we're the only things. I feel like it's a fair point too, though, when people are like, oh no, we're the only things, like, because we don't have actual, you know, picture evidence or, you know, meeting face to face evidence with,
right,
you know, aliens or extraterrestrial beings. You know, you have these encounters and these theories, but when it boils down to it, it's all just theories. But I also, in my opinion, there's got to be something out there. I think it's dumb to think that we're, you know, the only beings. Yeah. Like, we're not that great to where there's got to be something better or maybe even worse. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, I mean, like, I'm in the exact same boat. To think that, like, we're the only creatures and we just happen to be on the only planet that can sustain life is ignorant, in my opinion, because it's just, like, there's billions of planets. There's so many planets that we can't even perceive. So how could we possibly say yes or no? And, like, and the point that you said that, like, people are like, well, you know, we've never had picture evidence or we've never come in contact with aliens. Yeah, but we've never come in contact with gods, but billions of people believe in them.
I completely agree with that.
So it's like, I don't, it's, And there's, to me, like, when you boil it down to, like, science and, like, the statistics of it, it's just the likelihood that we are the only planet that happens to have life is just, it's zero to none. Like, there's not even, like, I can't imagine it's a high decimal number. Like, it's got to be ridiculously low. I didn't do the math, should have, before we started talking about it. But it's just, like, I don't know. To me, to think that no other planet could possibly have life is just ignorant. Because it just...
Well, yeah.
And to me, it doesn't even have to be, like conscious life. You know what I mean? Like, if we found a planet... if we found... I can't remember which one it is. In the near future, I think it's NASA is taking a spaceship to one of the moons. I think it's of Jupiter or Saturn. It's one of the moons in our solar system.
Jupiter's got like eight of them, I think. So
yeah, it's one of the
pretty good bet.
And they believe that there's water. There is water. There's a water planet, or it's a water moon, and they think they're going to send a spaceship out there, drill through the ice, and then take samples and then send it back. They think that there's possibly life there, and by all technicalities, even if it's a microorganism, it's still an alien. Like,
well, yeah. Also, it doesn't... I would like to point out that I'm stupid because Jupiter actually has 53 named moons now, and there's 26 waiting to get names. So, just want to throw that out there real quick.
Yeah, there's a lot, but even in our solar system, there's chance of life, even if it's not.
I don't
human
think,
beings that can, can construct things. It's still life.
I don't know about believing in like our solar system about having like sentient life, where that you know you can think, you can have a way of language. I don't think there's that in this solar system, but I believe there's so many other solar systems that there could be, and it doesn't mean that there's a world in the solar system next door that has oxygen that they can breathe like we do, but there could be life that has formed in a different way that, breathes off of nitrogen or breathes off of, another kind of atmospheric gas that we necessarily can't, but they could.
Right. Just because we couldn't live there doesn't mean nothing could live there.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? There's organisms that live at the bottom of the ocean by the volcanic vents, and we couldn't survive, but they can. So why is that any different than aliens?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think we discover new fish, we discover new plants, we discover new bugs, so many a year that on our own planet, we keep discovering all these new things. I think it's just silly to think that if we worked our way out of our, out of our atmosphere, that we wouldn't eventually find these things.
Right. Now, I do have a question.
Yeah.
If you were given the possibility, like if an alien spaceship came down and said, we're going to take you away and we'll tell you all the secrets of the galaxy, but we're not going to bring you back. Like, we can't bring you back. It's a one-way trip. Would you go?
I don't know if I want to know those answers, number one. And number two, I think it would depend if I could take Carly. Because I don't like to think of a world kind of like without my wife. I think that sounds really cliche, and if you want to be mad, you can be mad, whatever. But like, if they were like, hey, if you two want to come with us, and I looked at her and we were both like, you know what? Yeah, let's do this. I would go for sure.
Yeah.
But like, it also comes back to like, I don't know if I want to know, the answer to the universe, why we're here, why we do the things we do. I also, because it comes down to like the whole religion thing too, of a lot of people like wanting to ask God, like at the end, like, oh, what's the secret of life? It's like, no, I don't care. Yeah, I like to do what I do because it makes me happy. I like to do what I do because it, it's my drive. I don't really need an answer, I guess, for myself. I don't know about you, though.
I don't know. I don't think I would go, but I don't think I would go because there's too many things here that I couldn't leave behind. I mean, besides my family and my fiance, it's even just my animals. I couldn't leave them behind. But it's not because I don't care about knowing, because I would probably kick myself, because I do want to know. Those are questions that I would like to have answers to, and not so I could say I was right or this person was right or I was wrong or that person was wrong. It's just so, like, just because that's, I like to know things. I like to know the answers to things that people don't have answers to.
Yeah.
So, I wouldn't be afraid to go for the knowledge aspect or deny to go for the knowledge aspect. I think I would deny to go for, like, material things and people and such.
Yeah, I think it comes down to coming back.
Yeah.
And then also, I don't know. I think it could be dangerous knowing the whole secret to life thing.
Make you go mad.
Yeah, it could. Or you could come back and people could think that you're fucking nuts.
You know? But I mean, if...
Who knows?
If the rules were different and it was an alien spaceship's coming down and says, we're going to take you away for 6 months or 1 year, but we'll bring you back and nothing will happen. You'll be fine. Like, no one's going to, you won't get hurt. And we'll tell you all the secrets. I would probably go to that. But when I came back, I wouldn't care to tell other people. Like, if I came back and I would tell someone, like, yeah, this is what I know. If they didn't believe me, I wouldn't be upset or be like, this is ridiculous. Like, cause to me, it's about finding answers to myself. It's not about finding answers to spread the word and make everybody know what the answers are. It's just like, it's just questions that I have. So it's just like things that I would like to know for me personally. And if they don't believe it, that's fine. Like, that's not my problem really.
Yeah. I kind of have the whole, like, Man of Steel concept in my head. If I knew something extraterrestrial, I feel like I wouldn't come back and tell people, because I don't think people would be ready.
No. You know, I don't think people would be ready.
Right. Kind of like how Clark's dad, you know, in the Man of Steel movie was like, hey, maybe don't let everybody know.
Yeah. I guess, you know, people aren't ready for that.
Which is, but like, even not a terrible mentality to have, but it's also like not the greatest one.
Yeah, it's very morally questioning, I suppose, because then it's like, well, if you have answers, shouldn't you tell people so they can know? But at the same time, it's like, well, it's, you can't force people to believe you, you know?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I guess when I'm thinking about it, it's honestly becoming more of like a loaded question, where it's like, there's so many factors now that I gotta think about.
Yeah,
there are a lot of factors to go, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, yeah, you know, it'd be great to know that, because I love to learn new things, like you said earlier. You know, I like to be knowledgeable. I like to learn new things, but I don't know if it would help me at all to learn that.
Right.
So, I don't know. I guess that would come down to the day it happened.
Yeah, it would just happen to be in the moment, I guess. I don't know. I wish I could say what I would for sure do, but I don't. In the moment, it would just have to be what I decided, I suppose.
Well, okay, so I got a question for you then. Would you do if you encountered alien life? Would you do a kind of like runaway, freak out kind of thing? Would you try to approach, you know, subtly and pacifistly, or would you just be like, hey, fuck you guys, I'm gonna kill you?
I don't know. I guess it all depends on setting, because like stuff like that wouldn't, I don't think, I mean, it's easy to say right now, but I truly believe I wouldn't run, and because I don't think it would scare me, because of the thirst for knowledge, I suppose. Like, it's just, I would be more curious than afraid. I would probably come at it at a pacifist angle and see what I can see. But I don't know if I would come swinging out open arms, screaming to beat me up. But yeah, like I would definitely, I'm not afraid to be in like situations like that. Like, this past weekend, a friend of ours a few friends of ours came up for the weekend, and Kelsey had to work, and our my friends Zach and David, they went to they had something going on, so they went. So it was me and my friend Alexis, who is David's wife, hanging out, and we both really like true crime. So we drove to the Burger Chef restaurant here in Indy where the Burger Chef murders happened, where abductions then murders happened in, I think it's the 70s, the 70s or 80s. And like it was the middle of the day. Like, I don't care if I was expecting somebody to see me or obviously, but we went and checked it out, and like, I was really intrigued by it. I hate to say this, but I tried to open the door. The doors were locked, but it looked
I would have done the same thing. So yeah,
it was definitely cracked a bit. So I gave it a few solid pulls to see if I could break it ajar. But
it's like that door that couch used to have that you could just kind of yank open.
Yeah, hopefully you could just, like, get
a good yank.
Jimmy. Yeah, get a good Jimmy in there.
That's a good life motto, kids. Just give it a good yank and
yeah,
everything will be okay.
See what happens. Yeah, see what happens. But yeah, no, because, yeah, so we went there just because, like, I was interested in it, and, like, it gave her the creeps a little bit, and, like, but it doesn't give me the creeps. Like, it's something creepy happened there, yeah, but, like, it doesn't, that kind of scenario doesn't like scare me and make me uncomfortable. Yeah. Like, I'd rather know and see something with my own eyes than be too afraid to do something. But yeah, I think I would go. I wouldn't run if I could see them and they could see me, and it's like game over, they know I'm there, which I'm assuming they would know I was there anyway. I would probably definitely come at a pacifist angle and see if I can some way communicate. But if I was just parked on the side of the road and a UFO just happened to park it, I would definitely get out and peek behind a bush and see what's going down. What about you?
I think I would approach it as I think when it came down to it, I almost approach everything as, you know, I want to be calm and collected.
Right.
And to approach as cautiously, but also at an angle where if something were to happen, I'm ready.
Yeah.
So I think I would go up, obviously, like, up front. I'd be like, hey, you know, is everyone okay? You know, your ship just crashed.
What's going down?
You good? Can you speak English? Who knows? I don't know.
Talk brain to brain.
And then if, like, they pull a gun, like, I want to be ready, like, you know, kung fu chop that shit.
Yeah.
I don't know kung fu, so maybe something else, but you know what I mean. Ultimately, like, I feel like if I came close to seeing extraterrestrial life, obviously, my first clue is not to, like, attack them. Yeah, so I don't know, ultimately, what I guess I would do. I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we'd ever be able to say for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it would be kind of like the last question, you know, if the opportunity actually came up.
We just have to see when it got there, I guess.
Yeah, no shit. But yeah. But that's my question for you, so I don't know.
All right, well, I think if we're all good on alien talking points, I think we're both on the same page. Do you want to hop in the stories?
Yeah, I think I'm going first, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're running the show today, so I think I have to go, unfortunately.
Yep, you're first.
All right. So, like I texted you earlier this week, I opened up my notes from probably a week or two ago when we were trying to figure out or do this episode first. Mm-hmm. And then obviously, you know, Carly is having a flare up and stuff, and we kind of had to put it off, but I opened them back up and I fucking hated what I had. I'm going to be honest. I looked at it. I was like, this is fucking stupid. This is supposed to be a creepy podcast and to make people think. And, you know, I had this whole idea. I was like, I'm going to do Nordic aliens, and Nordic aliens are really cool. You know, they're aliens that want to come to Earth and warn our species about kind of like global warming and treating the Earth better.
Aren't they the beautiful blonde aliens or something?
Yes.
Like that?
And they're really cool. but they're like super nice. They don't like poke your butt. They don't like abduct anybody. They just come down, give you some words of wisdom, and they leave. And everybody that's ever had an encounter with them that I could find really enjoyed them. So like, I was like, this sucks. This is terrible for this podcast. For another podcast, maybe a little bit better. But I decided to do some more digging, and tonight I'm going to talk a little bit, or maybe a lot of it, who knows, about the actual first reported alien abduction. It happened back in 1961, so 60 years ago now, right? Almost 60 years ago.
Yeah, 59 years ago.
So I'm going to kind of talk about that a little bit. It intrigued me, and it's everything that's the epitome of an alien abduction. It's got, you know, some sex in there, some psychotherapy, some poking, some prodding, you know, everything that you would think an alien would do to you.
Yeah, every common idea of
an alien abduction. Yeah, it's pretty much in here. So this abduction, it happened to two people on the night of September 19th, 1961, which is 7 days before my birthday. So I wasn't born in 61, though. I'm not that old. But I'll keep you guessing. And anyways, it happened to Barney and Betty Hill. They were driving home. They claimed it was a starry, cloudless night. And around 10 p.m., the couple stopped for coffee, and they kind of, in their heads, were trying to figure out what time they were going to be home from their trip, and kind of like came to the conclusion they should be home around 3 a.m. Once they were finished with their coffee, and, you know, I don't know, maybe they had a bite to eat. They just said they stopped for coffee. So they got back on the road. They noticed something kind of strange, and a bright light started to shine outside the passenger window. Now, this light started to kind of seem like it was following them, and Betty was kind of paying attention to it, and she eventually was persisting Barney to, you know, park the car and figure out what the hell's going on. So finally, Barney, he parked the car, he got out, looked towards the object with binoculars that he had in his glove box, and it wasn't just a light. He later described it as a spacecraft. He claims that he seen at least a dozen or more living beings in the spacecraft who were all wearing like matching uniforms, and they were all just looking at their car. So that's kind of weird, you know, like it's almost like
me a bit uncomfortable.
Well, it's like it reminds me of one of those times when you're like driving down the road and you happen to look over into the other lane at the car that you're passing, and they're just like fucking looking at you. But like it's aliens. But yeah, so he saw all these aliens looking at him, and obviously it kind of, you know, freaked him out. So he got back in the car, he sped off and tried to escape the spacecraft. He got off the highway, he started speeding down this windy road with a bunch of turns, and eventually they started to kind of outrun it, but they started hearing like a lot of loud beeps, which I may try to find a little audio clip of loud beeps and edit it in later. But anyways, they heard some loud beeps, and then each described a very odd tingling of drowsiness. And after they woke up, they found themselves 35 miles down the highway. And they had no idea what happened, and they were just groggy and achy, and so they just, you know, continued heading home. Which I find it odd that they somehow ended up back on the highway, but 35 miles closer to home than they were.
interesting.
You know, if they got off the highway and they were coming down, like, they should have, if something happened, theoretically been on somewhere down on that road, right?
Yeah, right.
So,
I mean, ideally.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how it works. You know, a car goes in the direction you put it.
I mean, I'm no scientist, but that's genuinely how it works. Generally, how it works.
You work with cars, so you're close enough. I do. You're the expert.
Yeah. When you drive a car straight, usually goes straight.
Okay. I mean, there you go.
That's how it goes.
So, after they got home, the next couple days they started finding like abnormal things. You know, when they first got home, they noticed that Barney's shoes were scuffed and his bino strap was broken. He also claimed that he had this like feeling that something odd happened to his body, and like went to examine himself. And I was trying so hard to figure out if he actually claimed to have anything wrong with his body, and I couldn't find anything. The only thing I could find was another abduction victim of like a similar thing about having like a massive bruise on his back.
I kind of know a little bit about the story, but not a whole lot. I thought he had something with his dick. Like he had like puncture marks or like warts or something. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I remember thinking like, man, that would fucking suck.
I have no idea. I'm looking at their Wikipedia page right now just to see.
I might have been thinking about something else, but just off the top of my head, that's kind of what I remember from the story, because I just remember thinking how badly that would suck. But I could be wrong, like I said.
Yeah.
Just off the top of my dome.
I don't know. I can't find anything. But I mean, if anyone out there, is trying to knows what happened to his body, please let me know. I am very, very intrigued. But I mean, some stuff happened to, you know, Betty too. The biggest thing was that she was having these extreme nightmares about what I can assume is the encounter. But they went on for 2 years without really telling anybody, I guess, or at least Barney didn't. And eventually the couple sought out a psychiatrist after one of Hill's close friends was like kind of telling him, hey, like, you seem like you saw something that you just don't want to remember. Like something's in his subconscious that he's just pushing back. So after that, they decided to go to a psychiatrist. You know, because between Barney's, you know, mood changes throughout those 2 years and Betty's extreme nightmares, something obviously was going on with them. But so they went to the psychiatrist. They underwent hypnosis. I need to learn how to talk. So through hypnosis, they were able to recount the night that, you know, this encounter went down. They claimed to remember seeing short gray aliens with big wraparound eyes, which ultimately is, you know, it's just the stereotypical alien that we all think of.
Yeah, the grays.
Yeah, the little gray guys with the big old heads, big old eyes. So they claimed that these beings took the couple on board the spacecraft and proceeded to probe them with needles. Now, it's important to note that the psychiatrist did not believe their story. But he does claim that they completely believed in their abduction. That they went through hypnosis and they came out of it and they were like, we were abducted. Barney was completely terrified of this recollection of the incident. But Betty, on the other hand, started to fucking tell everyone. Like, everyone she could. She went to friends. She gave lectures. She even went to a couple schools to tell her story.
I know. Yeah, I know. Barney definitely didn't want to tell anybody because they already, the people were not a fan of them in the community, I think, if I remember right, because they were a mixed race couple.
Yes.
In the 60s. So that's.
Yeah, he was already kind of terrified of kind of drawing attention to their relationship, anyways.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, they were a mixed race couple in the 60s. And, you know, through American culture, kind of know that wasn't a great time to do that.
Yeah, it's not the bestest time.
Yeah, which is wrong,
obviously. Right, obviously.
But, you know, you kind of can't change the past, and I wish it was different. But, he was terrified. I mean, he was terrified of the recollection. He was terrified to, like, let people know because that's drawing attention to their relationship. Mm-hmm. But she's just, I mean, Betty's just going around telling everyone, you know, I was abducted. And obviously it didn't take long, you know, with her telling everyone that journalists caught whiffs and had to go talk to them about it. So pretty soon after, they got a book, they got a TV series, they got countless articles, all published about, you know, the Hills abduction.
Yeah.
And this kind of spanned from, like, probably 64 to 75 was the big span of all these books and articles and TV series. The TV series came out in 75. It was a TV series completely based off of their abduction and several others that kind of spawned after them. But it's called the UFO Incident. And it was a show, I think, on NBC, and if you want to go watch it, go for it. I don't know if I'm going to, because it was made in 75, and I'm not a huge fan of old movies.
Yeah, it's not my thing.
I mean, I might try it, but I feel like it didn't age well.
I'd probably give it a shot. I mean,
I'd try it. I might try to do it and do a review on it. Who knows?
I'll give it 10 minutes.
If it doesn't get me in 10 minutes, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah. But so after this story broke, though, the reports of alien abductions rose 2,500%. And I'm not a mathematician. I'm not a statistics major of any sort. I had to do some through my engineering degree. But holy fuck, that went 1 to 100 so fast.
Man, that's a lot.
That's like... I mean, if I'm doing the math right, we got 365 days in a year. And if we had 0 on day 1 and 2,500 by the end of the year, let's see how many that is a day. We're averaging fucking almost 7 encounters
a day
for that year.
Yeah, it's a good amount.
It's a ridiculous amount, really, when you come down to it. But it is important to, kind of add that the Hills incident was very much different than almost all of the reports, like, after their incidents that started in that 2,500%. And the big thing was that they remembered almost everything about their encounter. Whether they made it up or they believed it or whatever, they at least remembered and believed everything. Now, right. The others only believed parts, and some didn't even remember any. A lot of encounters that I was reading about, you know, in the early 70s and, you know, throughout the 70s, a lot of people were losing time. And people were like, oh, maybe you got abducted by aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were like, oh, fuck, maybe I did. And then they would report it.
Right. I mean, not to harsh on anybody's vibes, but it's definitely probably not the heavy drug use that was going on at the time. mean, not to sully anybody's story. I'm just saying,
not to be like, hey, drugs were a big thing, but they were kind of a fucking big thing back then.
It was kind of the only thing around that time.
And I'm sorry, but if you're losing time and someone says you're abducted by an alien, don't just fucking go with it. Maybe think about what could have happened. Maybe you took a nap.
Maybe you took a long nap. Maybe they were. I'm not saying they weren't. I'm just saying it's with the times and everything, it seems a bit everything's kind of lining up. So
I completely agree. So like I said, the Hills abduction versus all these other ones vary quite a bit. Now, obviously, there are people out there being like, they weren't abducted. They made it up. They faked it. Which they're not alive anymore. So it's not like we can go and ask them.
Yeah, you can't ask them
anymore. I don't know if they were telling the truth. I don't know if they weren't. I know they sparked this huge movement, though, of people being abducted. And Betty even would go to rallies in her later years. And I think she died in her 80s. She would go to all these rallies for, you know, Area 51 and UFO sightings, where she would like sell t-shirts and wear these t-shirts that was like, I was abducted and I just got this shitty t-shirt, you know, like t-shirts like those. But so she believed to the day she died that she was abducted, or at least she put on a really good facade. But I don't know. A lot of people said that they may have fell asleep while going home, because both of them had very kind of crazy schedules. Barney had a 120-mile commute every day to work.
Wow.
Which is kind of a haul. And then he also had an ulcer at the time, which can take a lot of your, you know, energy and drive, you know, to do things. Because you're in pain.
Yeah, that could knock you.
Yeah. And then Betty was a welfare worker with like 120 plus cases at the time that she would have to go through. And they took a very abrupt vacation to Montreal, then ran out of money, and they had to cut the trip short. And this is when the whole incident happened, was on their way back from Montreal.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I was like, well, they kind of ran out of money, they came back, maybe they did come up with this whole story to get attention, to get money, but I don't know if I believe that either.
I don't know,
but one of the big things that I think could have happened, maybe, I'm not saying I don't believe them, but one of the big things I do kind of like think about is that one scientist did prove that there were lights in the sky that night, but it was Saturn and Jupiter. They were starting to come together, and they were shining very, very bright. And then also Betty was a very avid sci-fi reader and already a UFO believer at the time. And after the incident, it was later found out that she called her sister immediately after they got home, who was another UFO believer, and told her about the incident. So Barney at the time didn't believe it, but he had like 2 years of her possibly feeding him these like possibilities. And then once you go through hypnosis, you get to this calm state that you kind of start to be susceptible to people leading you to the right answers, you know, quotation mark. And through these 2 years, through this hypnosis, he could have built this in his mind very easily.
Yeah, it could have just formed on its own almost.
Yeah, which then could have led them both to, you know, fully believe it, rather than being a fake thing. So this whole time, it could have been real, you know, to them, or it could not have been. Who knows? It's always going to be a mystery. Like I said before, I think it's very, very narcissistic to think that we are the only creatures in the world. But is this a real encounter? I would have to say it's up to the people out there doing the research. So go do your own research, get back to me, and please, please email us or message us or something and tell me if you think this was a real abduction. Tell me if there are real abductions out there. Please.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those that make you think there's a lot of possibilities, and since time has kind of passed, we don't have anybody to ask anymore.
Yeah, and I like that story because it makes you think. It's like, okay, right, yeah, this factor and this factor could have led them to be lying or falsely believing in themselves, or, you know, this or that or blah, blah, blah. But then when it comes down to it, it was the 60s. Coming up with an idea like that, even like at the time, who the fuck would believe you?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I feel like you wouldn't come back from a trip having no money and be like, you know what we should do? Make people think that we were abducted by aliens and we might be able to get money.
Yeah. I mean, as a concept, maybe I could see. And then if it would have like piddled out and everything would have been fine, or it would have never been mentioned again, I could see it maybe being a scheme. But at the same time, they were already receiving a good amount of dislike from their neighbors. So, like, why would you, one, bring more attention onto yourself? And two, it's not like they made a shit ton of money off this. Like,
yeah, I mean, maybe they made some money off of, you know, the book sales and maybe some memorabilia that was being placed. But ultimately, I don't think they really made any money off of it at all. It's not like they were able to leave their jobs and
live a life of luxury. Right. It's like, to me, it's almost what happens after paints more of a picture for me than what they say happened during, because it's like, if this didn't happen, then they just live their entire life with this lie that they did a pretty solid job of continuing to keep a lie, I guess.
To the grave.
Things like this will be like, after 40 years, somebody will come out and say, oh yeah, it was all fake and all this stuff, especially with how much media attention they were getting. But I don't know. It's up to everybody out there to do their own research and see what they believe, I guess.
Yeah, I did a little bit of research. I think people should go out there, do a little bit more, and get back to us whether you believe in aliens or not.
Yeah.
But I think you're up, Joey.
Yeah,
I want to hear what you have to say.
I, when we started talking about doing aliens, I was thinking about doing some more outside the idea or outside the general box of what everybody believes aliens are, with like whether it's the Greys or the Nortics or whatever it is. I decided to cover the Black Knight satellite, and now it's a little more boring than the other ones, but to me it's more intriguing because we know that it is there. It's not a it's a rumor. Like, no, it's definitely there, but what its nature is kind of discussed and debated amongst communities and such. But so what it is the Black Knight satellite is a mysterious object that some believe to be an alien spacecraft near polar orbit. It's been floating around the Earth for about 13,000 years. That's what people say, at least. Some people think that NASA is well aware of the origins of the satellite, but they're keeping it tight-lipped.
Oh,
it is.
Is it? Okay, this may be wrong, but isn't this the one that people speculate that was one of the Russian spacecrafts that they launched in the space race that could have just gotten trapped in orbit?
That's some people believe that. Okay. That is one of the things that people have mentioned. Yeah, it's just like if you pull up a satellite or if you pull up an image of it, it's just like this large black mass that's floating around the Earth.
So it could be literally anything.
Yeah, it could be literally. It could just be a space rock that got caught in our orbit and but didn't come down. Like it's just it could be anything.
That's fucking nuts.
It is said that it started in 1899 when Nikola Tesla received radio signals from a craft, and that was where some of his inventions originated. While the radio signals that he received were real, he did receive radio signals. Some skeptics believe that the signal carried no information, was caused by pulsars, is what they're called. Pulsars are highly magnetized, rotating neutron stars that emit beams of electromagnetic radiation off their magnetic poles. So basically just space static. We obviously radio waves are an invented thing. It's a natural thing that we found a way to tap into. So we receive space or sounds from space all the time. We just don't know. There's usually no information on them, though there is one, a little bit off topic. I know there's one radio signal that we received that had sounds on it, but nobody knows what it means or what it is. So anybody out there looking at that, because it's pretty cool. In 1954, UFO researcher Donald Kehoe told newspapers that the United States Air Force had reported that two satellites orbiting Earth had been detected, but at that time, no country had the technology to launch a satellite. So this guy kind of started making his rounds and spewing out some ideas about the Black Knight satellite. And it's interesting what he says, because he says a lot of things, but he doesn't have any reason to be saying them. And skeptics have noted that Kehoe was also promoting a UFO book at the time. So, they say that the articles that the news stories wrote were kind of tongue in cheek and just intended, were not intended to be taken seriously. It was more of like a, hey, look at this thing. All right, anyway. It's more of like a fill the space. But in February of 1960, Time reported that the U.S. Navy had detected a dark object through the Soviet spy satellite in orbit, thought to be a Soviet spy satellite in orbit. A follow-up article confirmed the object was the remains of an Air Force The remains of an Air Force Forcer Discover satellite that had gone astray.
I'm just glad I'm not the only one that can't talk.
Yeah, it's because the title of it is Forcer Discoverer Satellite, but it's an Air Force Forcer. So it's like trying Jesus to talk about Christ. A mouthful of marbles. Yeah.
I just want to point out that maybe we should rename this podcast to the Can't Talk Podcast.
Yeah, the fucking Jumble Podcast. Space debris photographed in 1998 during the STS-88 missions have been widely claimed to be the Black Knight satellite. Space journalist James Auberge considers it probable that the photographs are thermal blanket that have confirmed as lost during an EVA. So just like there's nothing there, basically, is what he's saying, that it's just there's nothing physically there. It's like floating around. Which stands for extra vehicular activity. And that is when an astronaut performs an activity outside of his or her spacecraft that is outside of Earth's atmosphere. So that is where it's a lot. The Black Knight satellite is a largely debated thing because some people think it's not even there. There's nothing there, that it's just the photos are a phenomena and that it's just blank space. Some people think it's definitely there and that it is an alien spaceship kind of keeping tabs on Earth and seeing what's what. And some people believe it's just a fucking rock that got caught in our orbit. Now for me, the question is not whether there is an object out there, but rather what the object's intentions are. I think that it's, personally, I think it's just a space rock. I think it's got stuck in orbit, but it's still interesting because, fuck, it could be, look like a space rock, but it could also be an alien base where they're kind of keeping tabs. Who knows? But maybe, you know, one day we'll find out.
It's everything we're talking to Alexa about just gets transmitted to that.
Yeah, yeah, it gets stored up there. All those little fucking grays are sitting there on their computers slapping away.
So, how did it get its name? Do you know?
I don't know how. I think it just through reporting. I think like the news outlets gave it a fancy name.
Now, is it like Black Knight, like a knight in shining armor, or like knight as in like,
yeah, it's knight? K-N-I-G-H-T.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like the Black Knight, somebody who,
like the Black Knight from like Monty Python.
Yeah.
Tis but a scratch. No, I mean, I guess I'm kind of with you. Is like, I mean, there's so many reports that it is there, but
yeah, there's a lot of reports saying that there's something there, but there's also a lot of scientists saying no, that it's just a phenomena where something looks to be there, but it's actually not. And
I mean, I guess that could be the case too.
Yeah, you're like, maybe it was a smudge on the camera lens. Who knows?
I mean, they also faked the moon landing, so who knows?
Get me fucking started. That blows my mind. To me, that is equivalent of saying like, oh, it's the Earth is flat. Like, what?
I think the faked moon landing thing is the equivalent of saying that like World War II didn't happen. Like Nazis weren't real.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, that's like saying, oh, there's no way that many people could have died.
I think it happened. Did maybe they film some of it inside for dramatic effect? Maybe. But ultimately, I mean, people have been on the moon, so who the fuck cares?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it would require too many people to keep it secret. Like, even if you don't even look at the idea of it, like, you don't even talk about the stage or how it looked or shadows or any of that bullshit. To me, it's more about, do you think you could really keep that secret with at least a thousand people's hands in the cookie jar? The one of them are going to slip up and say something. You know what I mean? Like, it just takes one dude to say, nah, this is where it was filmed and this is how we did it, to fuck it all up.
I mean, Buzz Aldrin is still alive. Like, obviously it happened. Like, he was on the moon.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was him who punched some dude outside of a Starbucks because he was yelling at him that the moon landing was fake.
I believe that is true, but I'm not 100%. I know, like, he's like funding a bunch of stuff for the Mars trip. But,
right, yeah.
And he's even come out to say, like, Neil wasn't technically the first guy to step on the moon. Like, he was. But, like, he's the one that reported back, like, oh, this is a small, you know, the whole
one
phrase.
One small step for man. Yeah. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
But, like, there is a man that is still alive that was on the fucking moon, guys. Like, yeah. How did he keep... He's 90 years old. How did he keep this secret for, fuck, 65 plus years. I mean,
and not even that, like, all the people that had to work at NASA had to also keep it a secret, and all the government, and like that's just too big of a secret to keep, for to me at least, like the amount of, like, and it's also such a fucking dumb thing to lie about, like,
yeah,
like, who gives a shit? Like, I mean, but if I'm ever in another country, I'm also gonna be the person that reminds everybody we landed on the moon first, so suck it.
I mean, yeah. That's true. I'm trying to figure out how old he was when he actually, like, stepped on the moon. Because he's 90 now.
He's 90 now. When was the moon landing? In the...
Fucking while ago. 66. No.
So he had to be...
69.
Like, in his 40s?
Yeah. Because he was on the Gemini 12 in 66, and then in 69 he was on the Apollo 11, which was the one with Neil Armstrong. And then they actually, like, landed on the... They were the first two to land on the moon. So, 69.
Yeah, he would have been... 39.
Yeah. So, like, it's 51 years that he has kept this a secret.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah, it seems like a bit of a stretch. But it's also the same thing when people argue about the Earth being flat. They're like, well, the Earth is flat because of this reason. It's like, even if, like, when I talk about theories like that, I don't even talk about the theory itself. I talk about what is the purpose of that. Like, if, let's say the Earth was flat, why would the government lie about it? Why would everybody lie about it? Like, what benefit do they get? There's no benefit to that.
My thing is, if I start at my house currently and I go the same fucking direction, mm-hmm. I am going to end up eventually at the exact same point I am right now.
Yeah.
I cannot tell you how long it's going to take or how many steps or like what it would entail to get there. But eventually I would swim, walk, run, whatever, and get to the same damn place I am right now.
It just doesn't make any sense. It's not even about the theory to me. Like I said, it's about what is the benefit of lying. Like, we don't make money off the fact that the world is round. So why would they lie about it? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
No, I mean, look at plane trajectories. Like, planes fly at curves to get better, like, tailwinds.
Right.
To get the curvature of the Earth right.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't get it. Like, I don't get the flat Earth thing. I mean...
There was one dude, though, who believed that the Earth was flat, and he was not a engineer or a scientist or anything. I think he was like a fucking janitor or something. And he went in his own free time studied rocket science. And he did all that, built himself a rocket and launched himself into space to see if the Earth was round, and it was. And he came back and when they asked him, like, oh, well, how'd it go and stuff, he said, I just had to see for myself. Okay.
Is that a real story?
Yeah, it's a real story. Yeah, what? The dude launched himself up there. He taught himself, he built his own rocket, taught himself everything he needed to know, like thermodynamics and all that, and I don't think he like broke the atmosphere, but it's like that that Red Bull commercial where the dude did the skydive
from
on the edge of the atmosphere and stuff. I think he got up there. But it's just like, I mean, to me, it's like, okay, well, I respect that guy because even though he believed that the Earth was flat, he still was like, well, now I got to prove it. Where there's people that are like, no, the Earth was flat. It just is. Here's some bullshit reason that doesn't make any fucking sense, but I'm going to say it real fast and you can't argue with me because I'm not going to listen to anything else.
I just like, mad at celebrities that believe in it.
Yeah,
it's like, guys, stupid. You are too educated to believe this. Come on. You filmed all over the world.
Yeah.
You know, or you've been all over the world, whatever. Come on.
All right, well, now that we're done with our little rant, how would you like to step over to my true crime trivia?
I would love to. I mean, we have been on a little hiatus, and I have been itching to fuck up some true crime trivia.
Yeah, the name of the game this week is Who's Hunting Grounds? So I'm going to give you a city or state or area, and you have to tell me what serial killer stalked that area.
Do I get a list of killers?
No.
Oh, fuck. I'm going to fuck this up.
I made it easy. Easier. I think you'll be okay.
I don't think so. I don't have Carly with me this week. She's the good one.
I'll throw you a lob. All right. Milwaukee.
Didn't Jeffrey Dahmer do stuff up there?
Jeffrey Dahmer. He killed most of his victims in Milwaukee. All right, there's two here, and I'll accept either answer. Chicago.
Oh, fuck. The World's Fair. Devil in the White City.
Mm-hmm.
Holmes, H.H. Holmes, right?
Yes, that is one of
there's
them.
There's one of them.
Bonus points if he gets on with the other one. He was named after a famous actor.
John Wayne Gacy? Yes, because that's why my dad's afraid of clowns, is because he grew up like in the Chicagoland area around that time.
This is kind of, there's a lot in this area, so if you could think of some that I didn't write down, I have two for this area.
If you tell me California, I'm going to be so mad.
Well, more specific, L.A.
Oh, L.A. I mean, there's the Golden State Killer, but I don't know if he did anything in L.A.
I don't think he did anything in L.A.
Because he was like the East Coast rapist and the
East Area
Night Stalker and
OG Night Stalker.
Yeah. Fuck. I mean, Ted Bundy did stuff in California.
I don't think Ted Bundy ever went to L.A. I'm thinking more like L.A. specific.
L.A. specific. I mean, well, like Charles Manson, like his group did shit.
Yeah. I'll accept that as one.
What's her face?
Tate.
Yeah, Sharon Tate. All right.
The two I'm looking for are either Richard Ramirez.
Oh, God damn it.
Or the Hillside Stranglers.
All right. I would have never got Hillside Stranglers, but Richard Ramirez, I should have known.
This one's a bit... I think it's easy, but I also know a lot. Plainfield, Wisconsin.
Fuck, we talked about this. Like, didn't we talk about, like, someone that did some shit in Plainfield?
I'm sure we've talked about him a little bit, but we haven't covered him. I would like to cover him in the future.
Like, oh, man. Oh, didn't Ed Gein do shit in Plainfield?
Ed Gein.
Yes.
Plainfield, Wisconsin.
I should have known that because I love... Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which is based off of him, which I don't get why, because they're literally on the opposite sides of the country, but whatever.
Yeah. The last one I got, it's a big area, but I have faith in you. The entire state of Washington.
Just the entire fucking state.
The entire state of Washington.
Washington. Dude, I don't know. I keep thinking, like, you know what, Ted Bundy really made his rounds.
He's been in most states, so
he probably
he's definitely killed some people in Washington. I'm thinking Gary Ridgway, the Green River Killer.
Oh fuck, Carly would have known that one. She knows a lot about Gary. Good old Green River Killer.
Up until recently, he was considered to have the highest body count with 79, either 79 or 71.
Jesus.
Murders. Yeah, he killed prostitutes. But recently, a man by the name of Little, what's his name? I can't think of it. I'm going to look it up. He just came out. He was caught. He's an old dude now.
I'm also looking it up currently. Samuel Little?
Samuel Little, yes. He's right now, I think he's in the 90s on body count.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, confessed to 93 murders.
You know, I watched the FBI. I watched a really good Netflix thing the other day about the confession killer.
Oh, yeah.
He confessed to, like, 300-plus murders.
Yeah, he was bullshit. What's his name?
And then it came down to he killed fucking three people. He killed his mom, he killed the old lady he was living with, and he killed his girlfriend. And that's it.
Yeah, Henry Lee Lucas.
Yes, Henry Lee Lucas. But he confessed to so many that he never did.
It was him and I think it was, like, Otis Toole or Otis Toole.
Otis Toole.
Yeah, they were, like, traveling around. He made a lot of claims. He was just trying to make himself bigger than what he really was. He was a tiny little man.
They were saying that he had, like, a part of his brain that was fucked up, that he just wanted to please people. So when you would sit him down in the room and you pretty much, like, feed him enough information to get him to say what you wanted him to say, he would do it. Like, he was very suggestible.
Oh, yeah.
So...
That is also a phenomenon when people get caught. Some serial killers want to make themselves seem like the most evil, wicked person out there because they're already caught, so fuck it.
Yeah. You know, the other day I was also watching a little documentary on Jack the Ripper about being, like, Jack the Ripper being also H.H. Holmes, which is, like, not true.
I don't think it's true.
Regardless, I didn't realize that Jack the Ripper only has 5 confirmed kills.
Yeah, he didn't kill that many people.
And, like, I guess it just blows my mind that it's, like, he's such a, like, evil, terrible, like, on the top, like, tippy top of, like, that's what a serial killer is. And he's only killed 5 people.
It's because of the mystery. It's because he was never caught. If he was caught, I don't think anybody would ever even talk about him, honestly.
I don't think so either. But it also blows my mind that, I mean, a lot of the women, obviously this isn't right, but a lot of the women were like hookers,
right?
You know, streetwalkers and stuff, where it just like, it blows my mind that he's so famous for being such, I mean, it was in, what, 1888, and he's still this like crazy.
It's just a mystery.
Yeah.
It's the mystery behind it.
I mean, but it just blows my mind. Like, I mean, I'm glad that people are still looking into theories about who he is, but it blows my mind that he's as famous as he is.
Yeah, I've got my own theory on who he is, but that's...
If you tell me that it's H.H. Holmes, I'm going to tell you that it's bullshit.
I can promise you it's
not. There's no fucking way.
Yeah, me and Kelsey argue about this all the time. It is not. There's no
Does she believe it's H.H. Holmes?
She does. To me, it's outlandish. There's like... The only thing that's based off of is that H.H. Holmes was in Europe around that time.
I don't know, because I was watching the documentary, and maybe this is also bad on me, but the people doing the documentary obviously had a very big bias of believing that the two people, like Jack the Ripper and H.H. Holmes, were the same people, that they were grasping at straws to try to get it. And at one point, I got so frustrated because I was like, no, you have to have an unbiased opinion. Like, if information comes back to you and is like, hey, probably not the guy, you have to just accept it. You can't just be like they asked a guy about handwriting. He was like, well, I can't, you know, tell you yes or no, this was him. And they're like, oh, good. This means it could be him. It's like, no, that means it's inconclusive. Like, that's not evidence. Yeah. At that point, that's thrown out the fucking window.
Yeah.
But that's my little rant for the night.
All right. Well, I think we're going to start wrapping up. Do you want to give your plugs and recommendations?
Yeah. Like always, you can catch me over at Rewind and Reload. We went to another every other week basis on our podcasting just because Quentin went back to school, and we want to put out some really good content over really bad content. This week, unfortunately, we will not have an episode. We had some technical difficulties in an interview with a band member from Hyena, Prince Daddy and the Hyena. Unfortunately, their audio did not come through right, so we will not have an episode. But we are hoping to have them on after their tour concludes to have kind of another interview with them and sit down and talk to them again. And so you can catch me there. Also, catch me on social media, John Mergenthaler, and that's about it. My recommendation, though, is Little Monsters. Go check that movie out. It's really good.
Speaking of every other week, I think we were talking and we're going to probably end up going to an every other week schedule as well.
We've had some
scheduling difficulties and things have been up in air. I know it's been a little while since we recorded an episode, but we're still trying. We're going to continue to try.
Yeah. So I think, like you said, I think we're going to go to every other week. I think that'll help us put out better content and also be better about scheduling. And then hopefully, I think we're putting together a pretty good episode list for this year. So hopefully we'll get some more listeners. I think we're at a pretty good number right now for only having, you know, a handful of episodes out. So hopefully we get some better content out and get some more listeners.
Yeah, spread the word, people.
Yeah.
But if you want to follow me on Instagram, it's FerdX7. Follow me on Twitter, JosephAnthonyF1. My recommendation would have to be, I don't know, I'd maybe say play Dungeons & Dragons if you haven't. At least try to. I mean, you don't. That's the other thing about Dungeons & Dragons I didn't talk about in the beginning. Even if you're doing it wrong, as long as you're with a bunch of people, they don't know you're doing it wrong. I mean, just even if you just play with some people that have never played before, or if you can get into a group that has played before. The people I'm playing with, one of my friends had never played, and that's kind of why we started it. And as long as you're with friends, generally, everyone's pretty cool about it, about getting you up to speed and teaching you as they go. I mean, it's, I don't know. I would never shame somebody for not knowing how to play or mess something up or get something wrong. It's half the fun, but
I would.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. No, it is a great experience. I agree with you. I think it's a good thing to get closer with friends, to meet new people. Mm-hmm. And it's not a bunch of greasy, horny guys hanging out in a comic book shop like you think it is. Yeah. It's a very diverse group of people.
Yeah. But also, depending on what when this episode goes up, I'll be at C2E2 tomorrow. So if anybody's out there.
Oh, my God. Listen, I forgot.
Yeah, it's tomorrow.
Fuck. All right. Well, you'll see me next year.
Yeah. But yeah, if you want to follow us on Instagram, it's at The Nightmare Notes. And if you want to email us, it's thenightmarenotes@gmail.com. You can hit us up with any topics or mistakes that we inevitably made.
Yeah, and also tell us if you believe in aliens. Like, I'm hoping
believe in aliens.
Eventually, once maybe we take off, you know, this is maybe putting the the carriage before the horse kind of thing, but mm-hmm. Hopefully, eventually, we can ask our viewers, you know, what they think about a lot of our topics and maybe have an episode at the end of the year revolving around your guys' thoughts.
Yeah, reading some of your guys' emails. That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
But all right, I think that's going to conclude this episode. That's all for today. Hope you guys stay safe and don't get forced into an alien spaceship. Good night, everybody.
Clench your butts, baby.